Hello and welcome to the PMQ live update for Tuesday, May 12th. I'm Brian Hernandez in my home office again. Hopefully I will be getting back to the office soon, probably next week, and have a little bit better reception, better internet. I do appreciate everybody struggling through this with me. It's very difficult, but as long as you guys can hear the information coming from my guests, that's the important part. And speaking of guests, I got a very special one today, my good friend, US Beats Team Premier member, Tori Trupiano of Monte Bevy in Oceanside, California. Say hi, Tori.
Hello, everybody. How's everyone doing today?
We're great, Tori. Yeah, they're speaking to you, virtually. So I did want to say again, and I'll let people know again, ask your comments in the Facebook, ask your comments live through Facebook comment section, and we can put them up there. We're going to talk about some unique things that Tori's doing out there in California, some of the pivots he's had to make, and a complete flip-flop on business model and why he likes what he's doing now better than what he was doing during the situation, if that makes sense. We'll get to that. So stick around. So, Tori, why don't you go ahead and tell us about yourself and where you're at and what you do in 3 minutes or less.
All right. So my name is Tori Trupiano, an active member of the United States Pizza Team. I own and operate with my business partner, Ann, Mangia Bebe in Oceanside, California. And we're going through this COVID-19 thing together. When I say together, I mean between staff and customers. We're really all in this together. This is real. This is really happening.
I had to unmute myself there. All right, Jason Williams says hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in again, Jason. He's become a loyal fan here. He's getting a lot of good information from all my guests, my fellow comrades in pizza. So, again, you said we're all in this together. So this is about what this is you guys giving information and kind of ideas to people in the same situation. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what was the first adjustment you had to make? When did you realize this was, oh, crap, this is happening? What was the first adjustment you made and kind of up to where you're doing now, but without going into a lot of detail because we're going to talk about some of those adaptations you made. But, you know, what was the first thing you did, the first pivot you had to make?
Well, for us, because I still have family in Italy, what we were watching is kind of like what they were going through. And at that time, it was – I still feel like I'm in denial in some things. But at that part, it was just more of a learning experience. And I think denial is actually the perfect word for this. So as we were watching what was happening in Europe, I remember, I believe it might have been the 15th, whatever that Sunday was, talking to my customers and saying like, wow, this is it. This is the last time you're going to be sitting here in this restaurant until these new rules come into play. And I just remember the whole time thinking like, I don't want to do this. I want to run my business the way that my business is supposed to be ran. We're a restaurant. We have booths. We have tables. People come in. We're full service. We have wait staff and busers, hostesses, food runners, all the components that we need to run a successful restaurant. And when they told us, it's like, okay, well, starting tomorrow, that's it. You can't do that anymore. And I thought to myself, no, well, wait a second, though. Like, we're not set up to be anything else than a restaurant. We're not a to-go place. We have pizza. Of course we have pizza. But people come in and they sit down and they enjoy it. I do use third-party delivery apps as a convenience for my customers. That was nothing. That was not the program. That was not what we intended it to be when we signed up, for it to be kind of like one of our sole sources of income. So starting at that point, it was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of questions because we actually didn't know what was going to happen. My customers don't know how to order to go from me. They don't know how to order delivery from me because they're the ones that came in with reservations, sat down, got served, paid their bill, and went home. So that was the first stage. And I guess confusion was the best way to describe it because we didn't know what we were doing in the beginning.
Well, that's that pivot from dine-in to just dine in, but going solely carry out, contactless, curbside, stuff like that. I mean, sounds like it's a big pivot for everybody.
And at that point, you know, I think probably the first week and a half, maybe the first 2 weeks, it was an adjustment, obviously, to our workload, our scheduling, and then also into an adjustment to seeing sales plummet drastically by 75%, because at that time, my customers didn't know what to do. They were just as confused as we were. They didn't know how to get my food that they've been enjoying to them. And that's when Ann and I sat down and we said, okay, you know what? This is the time that we have to go outside the box. We have to figure out like what is going to work for us, because we got to reconnect. We have to figure out how does Mangia Bebe and our customers reconnect again. And that's where it all started. From that all moment.
Right. Well, I just want to say that, I mean, like you said, that's kind of leading into the next point, actually, right there, is the customer retention. So this was always first and foremost on your mind, is how are you guys going to reconnect? Kind of walk us down that road. How have you been dealing with that? I mean, why don't you actually kind of tell us what the mandates are in California right now? Is the state opened up? Are you at a certain capacity? What are regulations you have to follow?
So nothing has changed for us yet, other than I believe it was last Friday, they did open up the beaches again. So you can walk on the beach, you can swim, you can surf. You cannot stand, sit, or lay down. So it has to be a constant movement. I don't know if you watched the news, but there was quite an uproar. You know, when you live coastal, especially this time of the year, the weather's starting to get really nice again. It's hard to tell the masses that they can't go to the beach. And I think the population kind of made themselves be heard, and that was changed. But as far as customer retention goes, that was our first focus, because what we had to figure out is it's all about it's a popularity contest right now, because you have all these customers out there that are confused. They really don't know how to get their food. I mean, yes, they're those the big chains that we know that, you know, you call them up, they deliver, but that's not who my customer is. So what we started doing was, at that point, we started to really get involved with social media, just flooding our pages, our Instagram pages, our Facebook pages, letting people know, hey, we're here for you. You can order to go. You can order for delivery. Don't let this stop you. And that was kind of like our first phase in what we needed to do to get this going.
All right. So, that was another pivot to where now you're into a different market where you're actually competing with people who are already set up for delivery and carry out. You're saying that one of the big pivots that you had to do as far as customer retention is just kind of like flood the market or your social media, but just be there, be present, and make sure that everybody's seeing you. What are some of the things that you've kind of done in that respect that you weren't doing before in social media? Everybody's putting their pictures up and stuff like that, but what were some of the changes you actually did?
So in the beginning, what we started, you know, I shouldn't say in the beginning, but when we were running just as a regular restaurant, we did have social media presence, but our social media presence was showing our new specials, introducing new kitchen staff, publicizing our wine dinners and special events that we did, the holidays. That's kind of what we were used to. Well, obviously, that wasn't going to work anymore. So how do we keep our name in front of our customers so they don't forget us, and also keeping it exciting? So one of the first things that we did was a do-it-yourself pizza kit, because my oldest ones are home from college, but I still have a young one. And so we just needed to figure out, like, how do we keep these kids entertained? What can we do? So we started with the do-it-yourself pizza kit. And again, I was in denial, because I thought to myself, who is going to want to do this at home? Oh my gosh. I was making batches of dough every day and selling about 100 a day just for people coming in. And I thought, like, okay, you know what? Let's take this to the next level. What we did is we took the do-it-yourself kits and we made a contest out of it. So the winner received a $25 gift certificate that they can use at the restaurant. And again, what that did is that kept the customer not only entertained, but mangia bebe, just constantly in front of them, letting them know, you know what, they're there for us. This is what they're doing. And I loved how, you know, how it became so popular. And then I'm not saying I invented it or I'm the first one, but I did see a lot of my competition and then, you know, my friends, you know, doing the same thing. And you know what? It's at that point now, do whatever works for you, because what works for me might not necessarily work for you or vice versa. But right now we're at that point where I'm willing to try anything because I've worked too hard and too long to let this go to the wayside. I'm sticking to this. I'm going to continue what I'm doing, no matter what I have to do to keep this afloat.
No, absolutely. I mean, and we all have to, and I'm trying to switch cameras. I apologize again. It's getting a little slow, but we all have to kind of pivot and do what we can to at least stay afloat. I mean, that's at least the main goal. I know a lot of people are showing bigger numbers here in the last couple of weeks with things opening up, but that bubble's first. So we got to be prepared for when that goes back down again, almost back to a normal. So, I mean, besides like the pizza kits, you were talking about virtual wine dinners. And of course, I cannot give you a good example of virtual right now because my internet's not being all weird. But how are you doing these virtual wine dinners? What's that about? That's something unique I'd never heard.
Okay. So, again, I'll keep using the word denial because I'm very much in denial. My wine rep came to me and we were talking and we were just talking about, you know, the good old days and our wine dinners, how we would sell out every single one and the popularity of it and how people would sign up for the next one before they would even leave the one that they were at. So again, we talked about, what about if we do a virtual wine dinner where we prepackage all the food, we prepackage all the wine, people come, pick up their order, go home, log into a model like we're using right now, and that's what we did. And I thought to myself, nobody in their right mind is going to want to do this, but you know what, we tried it. We sold out, and I actually participated in it. It was so much fun. I will tell you what it did. For about an hour, it made me forget about COVID-19. And it actually brought back that warm, tingly feeling of normalcy. I got to see my customers. I got to talk and interact with them. And they got to enjoy my food and wine. And it was just that warm, fuzzy feeling when it was over, because this is what we have now. This is what the world is. Until it goes back to whatever the next normal is, this is what we're dealing with.
Well, no, and you're absolutely right. It's that feeling of normalcy. And I know people like myself who work in an office, we can do this stuff virtually a lot. Yeah, so that was on my side. Anyway, a lot of us are able to do this virtually when their internet doesn't suck. And but, you know, that was kind of a unique thing, bringing your customers back virtually, you know, back into the restaurant more or less. So I think that's a great a unique idea that people can maybe incorporate. Now, granted, we are starting to open up, but who knows how much and how long we can. So I did want to kind of talk to you about a couple other things that you had. I mean, one of the main things that you had said to me was, you know, step outside your comfort zone. I mean, there's no old normal anymore. It's going to be a new normal. But you had to do a big pivot being a dine-in carryout. And you moved into basically just the heading is food programs. And I do want to say we do have a lot of viewers. Tori's bringing a great audience. Sorry for the technical difficulties, but ask your questions in the comments. I see Jason Williams. There's Rudy Waldner. Yeah, I'm here now. I hope you can hear me. Sorry, buddy. But Jason Williams says it's great motivation. So ask your questions there. We can get them up and Tori can answer them. But food programs. You said you're doing something now that's pretty unique to where you're not even really thinking about opening up at a lower capacity in your dining room. Why don't you kind of embellish on that for us a little bit?
That's correct, Brian. So right after this started and our dining rooms were shut down and we were kind of just scrambling to see what the next move was. And, you know, the pizza kits were working, the wine dinners were working. We did get a phone call. But one of our PR persons, and her name is Brooke, and she's an amazing person, and I owe so much to her. She said, you know what? There's this program to feed the seniors in our community. Would you be interested in providing meals for them? And I said, yes, I would. They said, well, it's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Well, when she said lunch and dinner, I said, no-brainer. But breakfast, we're Italian. I don't have those ingredients. So I had a meeting with my chef, and we went over what the parameters were, what they were looking for. So low sodium, not sugary. There was actually a few dietary restraints that we had to abide by. And then also one of the main keys was they didn't want to eat the same thing every day. You know, they wanted variety. So I thought, you know, that just means that they don't want to eat, you know, spaghetti every day. Well, that wasn't the case. It was the ethnicity of it as well. So I told my chef, I said, listen, between all of us here, we have so much experience. We've worked at so many different types of restaurants and resorts. We can produce any type of food that they're asking for. So I got back to them and I said, you know what? We'll do it. They were picking up breakfast at 6:45 in the morning. And to get up that early for me was, again, another pivot, but I had to do it. From that point, you know, that's how we started. And then we got another phone call for another program. One of the hospitals that lost their program for food, and they asked us if we wanted to step in and do that. And again, we went through the parameters and what they were looking for. And again, they weren't looking so much for me or my food or manja. They were looking for someone that could provide meals for them.
So how did that first come around? You said it was just one person kind of reached out to you and maybe the word spread. I mean, would you suggest people getting involved in local chambers of commerce? Or, I mean, because there's got to be other programs in other towns that have lost their capability to be able to produce food. I mean, 100%. How would you?
So what we've tapped into and noticed, obviously, with school being out, there's nobody going to school, but those lunch programs are still in effect. So we're noticing and we're tapping into whatever we can that, you know, these programs are still set up so these kids could get lunch. A lot of the hospitals, not so much your medical hospitals, not those aren't the hospitals that I'm talking about, but I'm talking about like your halfway houses, your recovery hospital programs, therapy type facilities where they did have a food program and those are gone, but they still need to eat. So we've kind of stepped in and said, listen, this is what we can provide for you if you allow us to do it. We've had to change some of the ways that we operate, some of the companies that we use. So I'm very fortunate to be in a populated area, but I'm kind of in the middle of an industrial area. So around me are a lot of pharmaceutical companies, car part manufacturers, et cetera, and Coca-Cola's around me. So, I mean, and these are companies that employ thousands of people at their plant. So what happens is, or what has happened is, they've lost all or some of their food programs because there's been a reduction in workforce. So since there's a reduction in workforce, they're not feeding the masses like they were. So that's where we stepped in. So we've been lucky enough to provide for these companies as well. As you can see the picture that's on there as well, on the screen right now, that's actually my son filling those boxes. We had to move to PETA, I think is what it's called. They have to be microwavable and biodegradable. And a lot of these programs, there's not a lot of wiggle room to create these elaborate meals and incorporate the new cost that we're having now for all these to-go boxes and containers. So we're definitely shopping for the best prices, but also we're bringing in paper products that are good for the environment and that are definitely within the guidelines of the programs that we're working with. And that has made a huge difference. I never thought cooking breakfast would be fun, but it is. It's really created so much diversity. And one of our biggest concerns was to keep the doors open, it has to make sense. It has to be a profitable business for us to want to do this. And we have food costs, we have paper products costs, but also the one thing that I really wanted to do was I have a workforce. These people with almost zero time notice were said, you know what, I'm sorry, but we're not opening up the dining room, so I don't have a position for you right now. Well, through these programs, it's been really nice that I've been able to call back a lot of my wait staff, especially back of the house, and said, hey, listen, this is what we're doing 3 to 4 times a day. It starts at 6 o'clock in the morning, which now, as of last week, 4 o'clock in the morning is when we start for a 6 a.m. breakfast. And this goes until 9 o'clock at night is our last delivery that we do for the night shift at one of the local companies. So that's a full day to bring in and to start 2 to 3 shifts now. I'm sorry, 2 to 3 shifts per day that once all this started, the pandemic, those were not available. So it's been refreshing that we've been able to do that as well.
One, it's also that the reallocation of your staff versus having to let them go, just, you know, put them in different areas. So I did want to, I don't know if I can put this up there because it's getting all wonky again, but Jason Williams did have a question kind of to that effect. Do you think it's the wrong time to open a business? Most likely. He says he's more of a prep guy, but doesn't have the experience. There it is. It finally catches up. Doesn't have the experience on the business side. And do you have any tips on how to get better on the business side? Don't get me wrong. He practices at home, but it doesn't seem like it's enough. He's got 19 years of being a prep person. So if you have no business acumen, I would say at this point, it's probably not a good time to open up, but keep honing those skills. I mean, what kind of info do you have for him on that, Tori?
Jason, if you want to call me privately, I don't think there's ever a good time to open up a restaurant with this kind of business. No, but in saying that, this is all I've ever done in my whole life. We've been in business now. My family started this 50 years ago. Manja Bebe was our 33rd entity, including restaurants, food trucks, bars, nightclubs.
You wow.
So honestly, and I do stand by that. I really don't know that there's ever the right time to open up a restaurant, but that's nice, Jason. Thank you. but no, especially now, I hate coining these terms because I don't want to hear them anymore, but these are definitely times of uncertainty. Yeah. And I know that our next step, our next phase, once they allow us to open up the dining rooms, we're going to operate at 25% capacity. I'll tell you right now, I have zero interest in wanting to do that. At 25% capacity, I have to bring in all of my front of the house staff back again. There's not enough business to support that kind of payroll and that kind of overhead. I've already talked to my landlord. One of the ideas that we have, because if I understand correctly, at least in California, if you're outdoors, it's a little more lax. So I actually asked my dining room, my landlord, if I could just set my dining room outside. I do have a beautiful patio, but that would not sustain the amount of volume that we were doing if it were to come back in that kind of fashion. So, Jason, real quick, just to answer your question, no, absolutely not. I would not open anything right now.
But that, I mean, that kind of brings me to the next point that I wanted to talk to you about is that you were predominantly dine-in and stuff, but now you say you have no desire. If you can't open up at full capacity, it's not going to pay for it. So you really, you're trying to ride this, I don't want to say the catering side of it, but, you know, you're going to use that for what you can right now. Is that something you're going to, once you can open up 100% again, are you going to continue that? I mean, is this kind of a new revenue stream that you see?
Well, like I said, yes, I'm thrilled that we were able to tap into this. The one thing that concerns me is this happening because of the lockdown during this pandemic? Because are these programs going to be available once we do open up the country again? Right now, I don't know if you have a picture of this, but my dining room looks like a warehouse. There's absolutely no remnants of anything that would resemble a dining room. All my tables are all placed all next to each other in assembly line fashion. Boxes of, there you go, that's it. Boxes upon boxes of to-go containers and lids and bottoms and tops and all the stuff that we need to assemble all this stuff. So at this point, to continue what I'm doing in feeding the community in this manner, there's no way that I could put my dining room back together again, and it would actually be a disservice to my customer. I would not want my customer to sit in here and look at this catastrophe in here. Whereas if I set my dining room outside or just kept the patio, the weather's beautiful here in Southern California, and that would be something that I would do for the new normal. And I would probably just operate during dinner hours. I wouldn't even, you know, I would keep the daytime, just focus on preparing these, we call them box lunches, that I'm actually offering now to the general public because of the popularity of them. I mean, it's just they're prepackaged. Everything that you need is in there. You just grab and go, and that's what we're doing now.
Well, again, it's a kind of that new normal, like you were saying. You just gotta pivot on it. And, yeah, you see them here. The sandwich, I assume some salad or pasta, and some chips, something like that. Exactly. But I mean, yeah. So definitely, I like how you said. I mean, the only reason you're doing it is because you can't offer the same quality of service. Try to do this, which is actually keeping your restaurant going and serving your customers. So if you have an option of a separate dining room or something like that, like you said, maybe outside on the patio, because out in Oceanside, we all know it's beautiful every day of the year. So that's what I heard. He says, Jason also says, what about getting a food truck? I have heard a lot of people go into that. I'm not so sure about that because, I mean, now you're taking the you're going to a lot of different spots, or I guess you could just, you know, kind of go to one spot and just stay there. But, I mean, these are all great questions, Jason. You can reach out to either me or Tori or anything like that. And, you know, we'll get all the answers that you need here. I appreciate the interactivity for sure. So I did want to say, I mean, so you're just, as far as you can see right now, you're just kind of going to be focusing on the food programs. And you said that there is no certainty that you're going to keep these quote unquote contracts when we all open back up. So if you can, if there's some, I mean, this was a catering side that maybe you didn't have before. Is that something you're going to, at least maybe not through the government programs, but try to offer catering for other people?
Well, that's one thing that we operate 5 restaurants within a 45-mile radius right now, I'm guessing. So that is one thing that we have been talking about is maybe not so much using our actual restaurants to do that, but maybe collaborating all together in a centralized area to have an industrial type kitchen where we can continue to do this and have all the right stuff in place so that it operates exactly as that. I know my brother just called me yesterday and he had some questions with an offer that he was propositioned with, and he asked me, like, you know, far as like assembly lines and putting this together and, you know, ordering, you know, what my input was on this. And so this is something that if this keeps happening, and instead of trying to do it out of a restaurant, to actually do it in a location where it makes more sense.
Right. Well, absolutely. I mean, and this is another one of those things where the situation has kind of kicked everybody in the ass to get this one thing done that they've been wanting to do, or, you know, it's made us all jumpstart and accelerate certain plans. So, is there what's kind of your best? Oh, there you go. All right. Thank you, Rudy. Ciao for now. He's probably off to the hunt lines in Africa or something like that. We'll see you later, Rudy Waldner.
Ciao, Rudy.
But I mean, this is if there's like kind of one best tip you can give anybody going through hard times right now. I know it's different for different locations and regions. What's like the best tip, the biggest lesson you've learned from this that you can tell people to take from you?
I'm glad that you asked me that, because I do know a lot of people, and I do know a lot of people that do what I do. And I've basically been able to categorize them in two categories. And I know we all have our own, you know, our self-demons that we deal with, and every situation is different. But your first group is the ones that just want to give up, that don't want to fight. And then your second group is the group that I'm in. Like, I'm not giving up. It's going to take a lot more than COVID to bring me down. So I'm a fighter, and I'm going to make this happen. So first and foremost, you have to figure out, what do you want? Do you want to just lay down and let this go by, or do you want to stand up and fight? If you do want to stand up and fight, then get involved. Call your chamber of commerce and say, hey, listen, this is what I have. This is what I can do. Is there any programs that I can assist with? You know, when we started, and it was just a limited amount of lunch boxes that we were doing, you know, just for a couple $100 a day, I just felt like, wow, I'm getting up real early in the morning, spending a lot of money to really not turn that big of a profit right now. But as the second one built off of the third one built off of the second one, and so on and so forth, we're up to about 1,500 lunch boxes a week right now. And that's what's made a difference. So if you can get involved, call your chamber of commerce, get involved with the community, see what programs are out there. If you're in California, Lars, Leah, Michael Wolf. I don't know if I'm missing anybody. We just got contacted yesterday. Our governor has put together a program called Great Plates for the Elderly or something. Don't quote me on that. But basically what it is we all have the opportunity to put in a bid to feed our senior citizens here at a more personal level, custom-made breakfast, lunch, and dinner that we're actually, depending on what kind of volume we have, we'll actually deliver ourselves, or we'll use one of our third-party apps just to do the delivery part for us. So we're in the final stages of working that out. Yesterday, I was in contact with finalizing our menus for them. And if that goes through and there's enough volume, we bid it high enough where it's fair enough that it'll make a substantial difference for us. And I hope that Leah and Mike and Lars are listening to this, because I the kind of numbers and volume that they're asking us for could be the difference in us running at full capacity with all of my staff back without a dining room or not.
Yeah. Well, Michael Stevens too, up in Arroyo Grande. You guys are all California's a big enough state. You have so many areas where you're not stepping on each other's toes. We did have a lot of great viewers. This is the last chance to ask Tori some questions about the unique things he's doing, maybe get some advice. I did want to just, I mean, on that seniors, that Meals for Seniors or something like that, but I don't know the name. We'll try to find that out for you guys. But do they have strict guidelines? Because obviously seniors are the most susceptible to getting this virus. Do they come with the specific guidelines as far as like how you have to distribute the food? I mean, is it different than what you would do in your regular restaurant?
Definitely. So dietary restrictions, you know, they gave us allowed, you know, milligrams of sodium and then allowed milligrams of sugars, you know, far as like, you know, whatever drinks. If we're going to do a juice, it has to be 100% juice. And that's actually, we can work with that. That's the easy part. The part that's hard is they have to sign up for this program and they actually have to qualify. So we're going to be putting ourselves on the front line because one of the qualifications, not the only one, but to sign up for it, if you are COVID-19 positive, that is one of the ways that you can sign up for this program. So not only are we going to be packaging the food by their guidelines, but then also now if we're going to be the delivery service, we are putting in new guidelines for obviously no contact delivery. I'm sorry, Brian.
No, I was just saying that you were saying that they can, if they are positive for COVID-19, they can also sign up for this. So that's an extra level of protection you have to take for your staff and everybody else.
Exactly. So
it's just because you get the virus doesn't mean you don't get to eat good food. So I think that's right? That's a really good. I think it's a really good program. We can't forget about anybody who has it. It's hard enough to be quarantined when you're healthy, let alone if you're sick. So I guess, you know, anybody can kind of reach out to the Chamber of Commerce or local governments and see if they're doing any of these kind of, I don't want to call it charity, but charitable programs to help people out in need. What's like just one little more affirmation for the pizza industry, man? One positive note. I really like how you said, don't lay down and die, fight. That's a good tip. What's just one positive note that you want to give to everybody?
Well, I think that's, you know, kind of what you talked about right there is the one thing that I've noticed in what we're going through. I know a lot has changed. You know, we just celebrated Mother's Day. I didn't even get to see my mother on Mother's Day. And those are just things that's not how we operate as a family. So my kind of like way to end this is the one thing that hasn't changed, and again, I'll use that word, I'm in denial, but people have not stopped eating. And they know what their restrictions are. They know that they can't go to a restaurant, but they still want to eat that restaurant quality food. So that's where we're at with that. Stay in front of your captive audience. Stay in front of your customers. Let them know, hey, our doors are open. We're here for you. Come get the food that you're accustomed to eating with us. Pickup, delivery, whatever services you use, let them know that you're here for them.
Well, I mean, that's great. Stay relevant. Stay top of mind, forefront. I've never heard anybody say it like that, but yeah, no, people haven't stopped eating, of course,
right?
And they're longing for that social experience again. But even failing that, they're just longing for that restaurant quality food. So that's what you guys in the industry have to offer. So don't ever forget that. Just keep that to the forefront. We got another comment here, just to know, Williams. Situation like this is designed to break people like us. Keep strong minded. I'm trying to put it up there. It's not letting me, but yeah. Absolutely, man. This is designed to break it. This puts us to the test, holds our feet to the fire, and shows us what we're made of. What I'm seeing from the pizza industry and restaurant industry in general at this point, too, is cooperative teamwork. You know, again, we're all in this together. So let's get out of it together. And then we can go back to being competitors, but not until then. So, Tori, if people want to get in touch with you, people like Jason or anybody else, kind of pick your brain about some of the things you're doing, what's the best way for them to reach you?
I'm available for anybody that wants to talk, that has any questions or I bounce ideas off of me. I believe that my Facebook page does have my phone number on there, or you can just contact me through my personal Facebook page at Notorious, NATORES. So, yeah, like I said, I mean, just contact me through Messenger, even through Manja's Messenger page. On my personal page, I believe my cell phone number is on there. I would love to hear what they have to say. I would love to be able to answer any questions that they have about what we're going through and how we're dealing with it.
Well, absolutely. And I like how you say you'd like to hear what they have to say as well, because if you're not learning or trying to adapt, you're standing still, and that means you're left behind, which means you're done. So especially right now, we all have to evolve and adapt and survive it. So I really like how accessible you guys on the US Pizza team are, and how willing you are to just talk with strangers, put out your personal information so people can reach out to you. So I want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart, the whole team, even World Pizza Champions, anybody in the pizza industry, anybody. You guys are salt of the earth, some of my favorite people to hang around with. So I can't wait to get another competition over there, Tori, because it is a beautiful city, Oceanside.
Thank you.
So nice. So, all right, Tori, well, I do appreciate your time. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Again, if you need to reach Tori, you can go to the Facebook page, his personal Facebook, or Manja Bevy. You see anything that goes through the contact info on the website and the Facebook, right, for Manja Bevy? Do you see all the any of the contact info that comes through? People reaching out, they can reach you through manjabevy.com?
That's correct. Actually, okay. It's, yeah, manjabevy.com.
Okay.
That is what I couldn't even remember what my website address is.
Just Google it, Manja Ebevy, Oceanside.
I'll try that.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in, Tori. Thank you so much again for your time. We'll be back again tomorrow and the next day. Tomorrow, I believe we're going to have a round table with Lars Smith, Dan Uccello, and Joey Carvelis. Three great US Pizza team guys in different locations. We're going to be talking about, you know, getting your old customers back and getting new ones. I think the big roundtable discussion is going to be to discount or not to discount. That is the question. So tune in tomorrow, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and I'll see you guys then. But until then, you know, you guys stay safe, stay sane. Thank you so much, Tori.
You're very welcome, Brian. Stay safe.